Lately, one of the most common questions I get is, do you really love the Bare Face skincare that you talk and you post about? Well, the answer is yes. I've been consistently using a routine that a Bare Face skincare specialist selected for me during my free consultation, and my skin is glowing. The texture has improved, and I love how simple the routine is. Just from following Bare Face founder, nurse practitioner Jordan Harper on Instagram, I've learned so much about my skin and what it needs to look healthier. You too can text one of Jordan's skincare specialist for a complimentary consult and get started on the routine that is best for your skin type. They have a couple of new products that I think you'll be excited to try too, including the Everyday Hero reusable eye patches. We love that Bare Face Girls are big fans of the podcast, so they have offered Got It From My Mama listeners 15% off their first purchase by using the code MAMA15 at checkout. Tucker and I have a product that we are so excited to tell you about. Coat Defense has been a game changer in trying to keep Tucker smelling good and looking handsome, even though he loves to roam all over our property and get dirty. Coat Defense is a daily preventative powder that reduces the number of baths I have to give Tucker. Do you know how hard it is to wash an 80-pound golden retriever? It also eliminates the bacteria that can cause odor in the first place, and unlike a typical deodorant or spray, Coat Defense is healthier. It doesn't mask the odor, it eliminates it. So there's less scratching, paw licking, and head shaking, and a whole lot more cuddle time with mom because he just stays so much fresher. Tucker's friends at Coat Defense are offering you 15% off to try the daily preventative powder or any of the other awesome products they offer for your pet's health. Just use code MAMA15 at checkout. Welcome back to the podcast. Well, this is the second part of my interview with Amy Brown. She is the sweet and energetic voice that you hear on the largest syndicated show on country music radio, The Bobby Bones Show. Behind her smile and positive attitude, Amy has walked through some really dark places, from her journey of infertility, adoption, divorce, intense therapy, and the loss of both of her parents to cancer. Amy's heart is to encourage others, and I think that's just how you're going to feel after listening to this episode, encouraged. I want to start talking about that, though, of your journey to your beautiful children. Mm-hmm. At what point in life would you say that you developed a heart for adoption?
Well, we were trying to get pregnant, and it wasn't happening, and so we had met with a few fertility doctors, and I had one in North Carolina when we moved to Austin. I had another one in Austin. And it just wasn't happening. The furthest we went with any type of help, Clomid.
Yes.
Which is a pill that, I guess,
it's kind of the first step for someone looking into, let's see if this works, basically,
and it
right?
It just makes your eggs more attractive, is how my doctor described it. Because I'm like, what is this that I'm taking, and what is it going to do? And so we took that, and I was on air at the time, and I was crazy. I'd never taken a birth control. I was not, it was not a place to be where you're have a microphone. I was so
sensitive. As a listener, what side of Amy would I have heard during that stage?
Just emotional. There was a time where I quit live on the air. I walked out.
Seriously?
And when I was leaving, during that time where I got married and I was moving and I was done with the show. I just remember, so the guys still quote it to this day sometimes if I get worked up about something, but I think it went something like, I don't know who's replacing me on here, but whoever it is, I hope they are prepared, freaking prepared. And then I just stop talking. But sometimes that's what they'll bust out. They'll be like, freaking prepared.
And no one else may know, but
yeah, but we know. It's from that day where I had had enough. And that's not the day that I quit live on the air and walked out and went to the bathroom and cried. who knows what that was all about. But I mean, that was during the season of
being
trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And I ultimately decided, I don't know that this is for me. And I don't know that my husband and I, at the time, we didn't know if we wanted to pursue anything further.
Right.
I thought we should look into adoption. And he was not there yet. A book was recommended to me called Adopted for Life. And mm-hmm. so I read it and then gave it to Ben. And he read it. And chapter one or two, he was in tears. And he said, okay, yeah, we should adopt. And, in the Air Force, which is where he was, it's not uncommon for a lot of the wives, it's hard to get pregnant because your spouse is gone half the year.
For sure. Yeah.
And you've only got certain times where, you know how it goes. And so we knew a lot of people that were doing IVF just to like, you know, up the chance. Like nobody knew why they were getting pregnant. Yeah. And they were spending a lot of money and there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And so we sort of concluded that if we're going to spend money for us, what makes sense is a guarantee, which would be adoption and giving a child a home that is already born.
Were you initially thinking domestic?
Yes, we were doing a newborn domestic adoption. That's what our home study was for. And
that is not the way it ended up.
No. And if you've ever adopted, you know that each time you move, you have to do a new home study. So we started in North Carolina, moved to Austin, thought we were going to stay there. After 5 months in Austin, Bobby calls and says, hey, they want to flip the show to country and move us to Nashville. And at that point, we were in Austin, still pop, but syndicated in about 40 stations. And we're like, okay, well, we thought that's amazing. We were on 40 stations. Why would we leave? Like, this is awesome. And Bobby said, well, apparently if it goes well, we could be on like 150 stations or something. And so that's about where we are now. But the decision was like, just as we were closing on a house, or we put escrow
in Austin.
Mm-hmm. And so Bobby's like, have y'all bought that house yet? And I mean, I love this neighborhood, everything about it. My mom was there. My mom had cancer. I wanted to be in Austin. And so I called Ben. I said, hey, can you meet me at Maddie's for a margarita? I just convinced you we need this house. Because he was sort of like, are you sure you love this house? I was like, I love this house. And I said, well, the show's going to go country and move to Nashville. And I'm invited to go if we want to go. And he said, yeah, I never really wanted to live back home. His parents are there too. And he at 18 went to the Air Force Academy and had been traveling ever since.
Yeah. He hadn't really lived back home.
So in his mind,
yeah,
he's like, we're good. Like, I've never been to Nashville. I said, me neither. So he said, let's go. Like,
let's do it.
The December before we moved here. So December, 2012, and we moved here in February, March of 13.
Okay.
I went to Haiti for a women's conference. So I was working with women, and some of the women worked at this orphanage, and some of my friends that were putting on the conference were heavily involved at this orphanage. So we went there and we're hanging out with the kids, and Stevenson, who is my son now, was a kid that somehow I ended up holding him like the entire day, and he had on these American flag shorts and he peed on me. So I felt like he was sort of marking his territory in a way, but I had no idea at the time. And looking back, it's very clear to me now. But you also don't just pick your children. It's the government does. It's almost like the Lord knew all along. Mm-hmm. But I left that trip and went home. And we knew we were preparing to move to Nashville. And I just could not stop thinking about this little boy.
He was what, two at the time?
Yeah, he was two and a half.
Okay.
And it was two and a half because his birthday's in August. So it was December, okay. Two and a half. And Ben and I took a quick trip to Haiti. And I just wanted him to see. I didn't know for sure if we would be adopting this specific boy. But I just knew I couldn't stop thinking about him and the fact that all the babies were matched at the orphanage with families.
Oh.
Which matched means you've been matched with a family, and then once everything's completed, you will go home with them, whether it was to America or France, mm-hmm. Canada. Any of the older kids are not matched, and older would be like two and a half, three and up, because the process takes 2 to 3 years. So the babies are matched because you want families, rightfully so, the younger you get them, the more you can have time with them.
For sure.
And raise them and nurture them and give them what they need. And so the babies, they may go home with a family once they're two or two and a half. Well, the 2.5-year-olds, by the time they go with the family, they're going to be five years old.
Wow.
6 years, just depending on how long it takes. And so that's less desirable for some families.
Yeah, for the bonding time and all
so
of that.
So I just said, what, do we need a baby? Like, do we want to do that? Could we do older kids? And we thought about it and prayed about it. And we were like, yeah, we can do older kids, because we knew if we just sought after an older boy, we would get him, and we would still maybe do the domestic adoption here. But then along came Stashira, who's my daughter, and we were probably about 6 months into the process of adopting from Haiti when we realized she kept showing up everywhere, like in photos, and she would just be around Ben, and we're like, who's this girl? And she was six at the time. So by the time, you know, she may get adopted, she would be eight, nine
years old.
And then I said, well, what happens to the kids once they're 18? And there's not always a plan. There's not always a program for them to go into, or the finances, and they could very well end up on the streets. And for females, that's particularly tough. And we just couldn't stomach that. So we were like, well, we need to, we didn't know if it was going to be her specifically, but we were like, well, we need to adopt one of these older girls. We started the process with a boy and a girl, and it ended up being
them.
Okay. Stevenson and Stashira. And Ben and I, we looked at each other, we're like, no matter how this shakes out, whatever kids, that is who God has for us.
Wow.
And it ended up being that it was Stevenson and Stashira.
So you knew it could be 2 to 3 years when it started, but it was not.
It took 5 for us. I flew down there multiple times, even just by myself, and would go sit and wait there until someone would speak with me.
Wow.
And one time I even had an appointment. I flew down. It was December 23rd. So fucking 2 days before Christmas, I had an appointment and sat there and waited and waited and waited. And the person still refused to see me. It didn't matter. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to fly back home.
And
so
did.
I did.
How did you personally, you and Ben both, how did you stay encouraged and stay motivated and all the things that needed to happen when it drug on to 5 years?
Well, I ended up getting espoir tattooed on my wrist, which espoir means hope in Haitian Creole. Mm-hmm. And I just kept the faith. I kept hope. Like, I knew, I'm like, we haven't come this far and it hasn't worked out exactly how, you know, from me coming home from that first Haiti trip and having Stevenson on my brain and being like, Ben, we have to go. And then it ended up working out that way. Like, it's like this, none of this is by accident.
Right.
And so I just had to trust the process. And that the Lord had a plan, and I didn't.
And the timing.
Yeah. And I still don't even know exactly why it all shook out the way that it did. But maybe I'll know in time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a while. There's been a lot of things in life where I haven't understood something in the moment. And then it's like five years later, or maybe even more, you're like, oh, wow, that really actually was a blessing.
Yeah,
I just didn't see it then.
This why the steps of the journey were ordained the way that they were.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I had walked through cancer with my mom. She never got to meet the kids, but she was able to FaceTime with them probably 3 days before she died.
Really?
She was in hospice, and I thought, okay, well, this might be her one time to see them. So we coordinated with the orphanage. And
so she knew you were in the process of, and that these two were going to be your children.
Yeah, absolutely. She had been praying for them. She wanted to go. My dad's no longer with us either, but all my family had flown to Haiti to meet them.
Oh, wow.
Except for my mom, because she just wasn't healthy enough. And then she ended up passing away. But yeah, my dad went before he ended up getting sick, which was a huge blessing. And other friends would go. Like, we were in Haiti a lot.
Yeah.
We can't go there anymore. Right now, the civil unrest there is just too much. It's really, really dangerous to go, which is sad, because my daughter would love to go back and see her mom. Because Stashira was with her mom from when she was born until she was 5 and a half. Mm-hmm. And then she was at the orphanage from like 5 and a half, 6 to when she came to live with
us
at 11.
She remembers a lot of things that...
Yeah, so this, her life here is like her third life.
What have the challenges been in parenting? Because you did choose older children. Mm-hmm. And so by the time they got here, they were what ages?
7 and 11.
11. Okay. And it's not been just this rosy road of, oh, let's go adopt 2 children and bring them to America. It's a better life. It's challenges, emotional, physical, everything.
Yeah. So adoption agencies do a great job of preparing you for certain things. And you have reading requirements that you need to do and complete, and courses that you have to complete, especially if you're adopting children that are a different race than you. So being a white parent with black children, and I love that they did this, but I mean, there was courses we had to take, and they didn't mess around. They're like, you as a white parent, you are not going to understand some of the things that your children are going to go to or go through, and don't even pretend to.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get pulled over and potentially given a ticket for something that if anything, you're more likely to get off the hook than, you know, to get a ticket for nothing. And you have to be able to sit your kids down and explain that to them, like that they're going to get treated differently. Sad, but true.
So sad.
And it's important too, to have black mentors for them in their life. And so we've been very intentional about men and women that they can go to that are not us, that are not white, that can help understand what they may be going through, or hairstyles and situations, things that I cannot relate to.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm thankful for that training. And then also the people in our life that have been able to step into those roles. And one of the people for Stashira, it's really special because Brittany Spencer is...
Yes, I've seen you post videos. She'll come do her hair. Yeah, they'll have a... Didn't they go to like Beyonce or something together?
Lizzo.
They went to Lizzo. That's what it was. Yes.
Yeah, so and so fun. She's been a huge blessing to Stashira. And then other Haitians that live here in Nashville too. Having them and making sure we're cooking Haitian food. Because they don't really love a lot of the stuff that we have to offer here. They really, really, really miss their Haitian dishes.
What's their favorite meal that you have either learned to cook as a mom or...
That's Haitian or American?
Probably Haitian. Like, what's something that you learned to do specifically because you know they love it?
Yeah, we have a little Haitian cookbook, and anything I normally make, it just doesn't turn out.
It's the not way. The, what they were used to.
Nope, it's just not. And honestly, too, some of the seasoning, we just don't have it here. Oh, and I'll go to the international market and try to get specific things so that it'll taste somewhat similar, but
it's hard just, to replicate.
It's just not the same. And, but I mean, rice and beans. With the certain seasoning, I feel like I can get down in little cut up hot dogs in there. But you gotta, you know, saute the hot dogs just right. They're a little crispy on the outside. But a meal that I make that they love is chicken nuggets in the air fryer.
Good, we can all do that.
Yeah, Costco has these great,
they're kind of like Chick-fil-A ones
of chicken nuggets. In fact, that's what I made for dinner last night. I'm not, they will say, I mean, I'll just go ahead and tell them myself, like I'm not the best cook, which is hard for me to accept because I come from a family of cooks.
Oh, really?
My mom was a great cook. My dad was a restaurateur and he is was a fabulous cook. My sister is basically Martha Stewart and...
Your skill set's different. You shine elsewhere.
Yeah, it's different. And so I think Stevenson even said to me last night when I said I was just going to put nuggets in and he was like... He goes, it's okay, mom. I've been there. Like that's his cute little saying of like, it's okay, mom. Like you got this. Just,
yeah, I get it. Well, you're just trying to get
we
by.
We like the nuggets. It's fine. No worries. I don't know what he wanted me to make, but I do this chicken salsa recipe, which is really easy. You put it in the crock pot. It's just two chicken breasts, a jar of salsa, and you cook it on, you know, high 4 hours, whatever, or low 8 hours, however you choose to do it. And then the chicken just shreds right up. And then you add a can of black beans.
Oh, yeah.
And serve that over some jasmine rice. And they love it. That's the thing I think as moms is, yeah, when you have a different skill set, you don't have to hold yourself to the standard that somebody else may have.
Yes,
or
absolutely.
Their life looks totally different than yours. Or for them, coming up with recipes might be therapeutic and fun and amazing. And they love that. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll switch one day, but it's just not. And I had a lot of guilt in the beginning, like a lot. And so I share that so that if any other moms or dads or whatever feel shame that they're not showing up how they thought
or
they're supposed to.
Or stereotypical, what that's supposed to look like.
You know, I think... For a long time, even as a working mom, I had some shame, like thinking, oh, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That's what I wanted. But adopting older kids, we adopted them and then they went straight to school. I mean, circling back to some of the training that our adoption agency put us through, while all of that was helpful of like making sure we include their culture and making sure we understand if there's, you know, race issues and also knowing that, there's going to be certain trauma that shows up. Yeah. And you know, of course, Karen Purvis is a big person in that space and you read The Connected Child and then she put out The Connected Parent and there's all these other books, you know, there's wounds there. And I think as any parent, whether it's biological or adopted, you realize like when you're raising another human, your wounds are exposed too.
Absolutely.
So their stuff comes out, and in that process, your stuff starts to come out, and you're thinking,
when it comes out at the same time,
right?
Watch out.
I'm the adult here. I'm supposed to be keeping it together. And now I feel as though I am losing it. And then I'm not the, you know, I'm not able to parent effectively.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I think for us, some of the stuff that has come up with them, which thankfully we've had the support to get through it. It also revealed a lot in me and in Ben, and we were able to heal some stuff from our childhood and with wow. our parents. And I think that's the beautiful thing of all of this is, you know, having compassion for yourself as a parent and how you're showing up, but being thankful for any self-awareness that you have in the process mm-hmm. and every little thing. Because then when you're self-aware, then there's opportunity for growth and change. And then ultimately that's going to help your kids.
Yeah.
And the trajectory of their life and then how they interact with people and then how they decide to parent. And of course, no parent is perfect or has it figured out. I'm pretty sure everyone's always going to be in therapy. We're like, well, my mom did this. Or my dad did that. And there has been times where I have pictured, yeah, both Stevenson and Stashira in therapy,
what will they say?
Naming yeah. something very specific that I did, like the
she
time
put chicken nuggets in the air fryer every night.
No, it's not every night. Hopefully, they'll remember some of the other stuff. I also pick up Chipotle.
Yeah, there so, you go. Yeah, perfect, perfect.
But I also loved that some of these other moms that I follow, especially adoptive moms that are business women mm-hmm. too, I love that they would post about that sort of stuff on social
Keep
media.
It real.
Of
yes.
like, hey, I've gotten takeout every night this week, so yes. you know. This is just what we've got to do.
Oh, any mom, I think, needs to hear that. Yeah. We mm-hmm. we so appreciate when other people we look up to just keep it real.
Yeah. It's very, very helpful. And I think that I'm grateful for the seasons that we have gone through. But yeah, I do wish up front there was maybe a little more warning of what you may go through. But I think even when you're raising, again, a biological, you don't know what you don't know. You don't Absolutely. Know what's going to come up for them or yourself in the process.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's a way to prepare everyone for everything. Mm-hmm. But I do think that with certain things that we have gone through, I have a whole nother level of just no judgment for anybody compassion. And I think there's times where I've thought, well, why did they make that decision? Or how could they do that to, you know, an adopted child? I think specifically when it comes to, what do they call it? Like rehoming?
Yes.
This is a sensitive subject. So, but I also, it's just being honest and real mm-hmm. of like, if I ever heard a story like that before, I had so much judgment and I did not understand. And I thought, what, you know, what's wrong with people? Mm-hmm. How could they do that? And when you don't know someone's whole situation, if they've got biological children and they're bringing in adopted children, you don't right. know the dynamic and keeping everybody safe and giving whatever child the best opportunity to thrive and maybe get help. Maybe it's not their space, or maybe they're not, those wounds got opened up and they do not have the bandwidth for whatever they are now faced with. And I think that, I don't know, just there was a little more honesty publicly, but at the same time, it's your child's story. So I get that Yes. it's hard to be public about certain things. Mm-hmm. I understand that completely, but there was a few moms that I had that it said, you can call me anytime. You can say whatever you need to say. And I promise you there will be no judgment. And I've even said this to the kids. So now I'll say it out loud. But even there were times where, I mean, I was crying in my closet every single day thinking, what have we done?
Wow.
What have we done? And I would call some of those moms and I was able to say whatever. And there was no judgment. They, and I don't think I understood that until I'd been through it. And now I can say, you could literally tell me anything And there's no judgment. I think sometimes you just need a safe space to vent.
So if you guys follow our Instagram or watch the episodes on YouTube, you've met Tucker, our golden retriever, who greets our podcast guests when they come over. Unfortunately, my little wild man loves to run through the woods on our property, and naturally he gets a little dirty, which means he doesn't smell great. Fortunately, I can sprinkle Coat Defense's daily preventative powder on Tucker as a dry shampoo. It's almost like a repellent for dirt. Since we started brushing this into his coat, he stays so much cleaner. He hardly ever scratches anymore, and we don't bathe him as often, which is great news for us and Tucker. We do love this product, and you can try it on your dog or cat by visiting coatdefense.com. Be sure to use the code MAMA15, and you'll get 15% off your purchase.
Things have gotten a lot better, right, in all aspects of our family dynamic. I went through a season of like, there was a few months where it was like, you know, my dad was dying. We had stuff in our marriage. I mean, we did just get divorced earlier this year, but we had been separated for, gosh, what felt like almost 2 years before that. It just wasn't, we were doing a year's worth of family counseling to try to figure out if we could save the marriage. Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on. And again, that's part of that's my husband's story, or my ex-husband's story, Ben.
For sure.
To where I know that his story could probably help a lot of people, or our story and what we experience could help a lot, but it has to be in the right time. Mm-hmm. And sharing, you know, what he decides to share and what I decide to share, because I'm part of it too.
Right.
But I just have respect for everybody involved to where, you know, if that's ever meant to come out and help somebody, great, it will. Mm-hmm. If not, that's okay too. It helped us. We have come so far, and we're completely different people. We operate in such a different way. And I think it's because of everything that we went through, including our adoption and becoming parents.
Right.
And that's where there was like a, you know, this, but it was just like 3 months of like the worst possible things that could be happening to someone.
Yeah.
And it was like three different big things.
Yeah. All at one time.
All at one time.
You take what psychologists will tell you are the most stressful events in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And yours were happening
all at once,
all at the same time, mm-hmm. which is
probably why at one point in time I walked into my pool with all my clothes on.
Oh, I don't think you shared that part with me. Wow.
Like I don't know what else to do. I felt like I don't even know that I was thinking.
Yeah.
I just, and in front of every, like kids, I mean, that's something where, yeah, they'll probably be in therapy. Well, there was this one time.
She walked
my mom just like was like a zombie and just walked right out into the backyard and into the pool. And like I did, I just sunk to the bottom.
Is that one of your darkest moments?
One of. I think I probably had darker thoughts that I didn't act on. But I think that there was, after the adoption, I do think, I don't know what they call it, but it was so hard. And we hadn't even experienced much of the hard stuff. I didn't even know where it was going to go. But like
it's
almost
a postpartum. Yeah.
Right. But yeah. I don't know the word, and I haven't ever taken the time to actually research it. I can't remember what my therapist was telling me about it, but I know it's a thing. But I don't want to take away from, you know, because I know the hormones that postpartum, like if you've carried a baby and you've delivered a baby, there's so much going on inside your system.
I don't
have that going on, but it was just a very low time. But then fast forward to some of the more difficult stuff that we encountered. I mean, there was days where I'd be driving down 65 and I just wanted to pass my exit and I was just going to keep going. And
wow.
Probably like never return to my home. And that was a real thought. And it's not something I was really expressing. Eventually I started to say certain things to my therapist because I thought, and I would sort of like tee it up like, well, this is normal, right? And my therapist would be like, it's actually not, there's nothing wrong with you for thinking that, but it's actually not, not everybody's thinking that.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, sure, everybody has these thoughts.
Make me feel better. Tell me this happens.
Actually, no, not everybody does. Because I would think, you know, if I was driving on the highway, if there was an 18-wheeler that happened to crash into me and I didn't survive, like that would be okay. Like I'd have those thoughts.
Wow.
So I never wanted to harm myself, but if I was harmed because of something else, like that would be fine. Cause everything was so exhausting and I was done. Like I was just done. Like I thought, you know,
with a job in the public eye, how did you stay Amy Brown on the air? I mean, you're paid to be kind of the sunshine on that show.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Well, I mean, I think the realness or what has worked for us in the past is also being real with our audience as much as we can. But you also don't, it's a fine line of, you know, we're not trying to be Debbie Downer.
The things you were going through, though, were so private, all of them. The divorce with your husband, struggles with post-trauma that the kids had after being adopted, losing your dad. They were all very private things.
Yeah. Well, I think early on, going through the cancer journey with my mom, I would open up and share that just so listeners knew they were not alone. If they had a parent that had cancer, or if a listener had cancer, and we had the whole Pimp and Joy movement.
Yes,
and,
amazing.
You know, just encouraging people. You know, my mom was always, that whole thing came from Nehemiah 8:10, which is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And, you know, of course she wasn't happy-go-lucky the whole time she had cancer by any means. She recognized all the emotions. But overall, she wanted to bring joy into the hospital. She wanted to spread joy to others. So she would, Walker Hayes wrote a song about her, and it's called Joy Like Judy. And he'd be like, she'd even be talking to people in the elevators. Well, you know Walker. He's so talented with how he makes things like rhyme and go together. But that line is because, a lot of times you're on the elevator at the hospital, and you're just like, press the button, you look at the ceiling, don't talk to anybody. And she would always find a way to compliment, you know, someone's wig, or because it's cancer hospital, or compliment, you know, their outfit or whatever, so that they felt seen and special. And so sharing that journey on air is how Walker even wrote that song about my mom. So those were moments where that was real life. We were getting vulnerable. We were sharing real things that were happening, and listeners were on that journey with me. And I've talked about fertility, you know, openly. So I had had experience with doing that. And so, with my dad being sick and that part, that was fine talking about. But the other stuff, that was very private and that I was, losing my mind over, that's why I would sit down at the mic and just cry and I would have to leave. After my dad passed away, I took 2 weeks off, and actually during that 2 weeks took a handful of days and went away. Like my therapist was like, I think you need to go away.
Like a intensive.
I went to an intensive in Virginia. Some woman named Linda that I didn't even know. My therapist knew her, but I didn't know Linda. She was like, okay, you're flying to Virginia. And it was all booked. This was all booked within 24 hours. It was like, okay.
Because you were at that crisis point.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, you need to go. And so I flew to Virginia. Linda picked me up. I was like, are you Linda? Please don't murder me. And then we went to a hotel and we stayed there. Our rooms were right next to each other. And I did 9 hours a day for 3 days.
Of work.
Working with her. Yeah.
Wow.
Experiential therapy, taking hikes. We were in this beautiful part in Virginia, and breath work, just being very intentional with our time, because it was a time for healing and trying to dig into some of those wounds that were busted wide open. And thankfully now Ben and I are both in a place with some of those wounds that were exposed where, you know, Brandi Wilson said this on my podcast a couple of months ago, and I loved it. And she said, you know, I want to be operating from a place of scars, not wounds, because when it's a scar, it's healed. It's still there. You know what you went through, but, it's not a wound. And when you're trying to interact with someone or make healthy decisions or, really with any relationship in your life, like if you're, you have to being aware that, oh, right now I'm operating from a wound. Like I might need to pump the brakes on this.
Right.
I want to put in the work to operate from scars. And so that was our mission. So for like 2 years, Ben and I were in a place of like, and Brandy said it great. I didn't realize that's what we were doing at the time, but ultimately now we can co-parent so well.
Which is amazing. You guys sound like, by all appearances, the podcast that you guys did together, that you really have reached a healthy place of co-parenting. One of the things I wanted to ask you, though, is that not to compare your journey to anyone else's, but would you say that you and Ben worked even harder in that year or so that you were going through therapy together and trying to make your marriage work because you had adopted children? And the weight felt even heavier.
Yeah, I think that some of that was also me being very concerned about public perception, yes, outside opinions that didn't matter. And that's what my therapist would tell me. Other people's opinions of you are none of your business. And I'm like, thank you. So that's a mantra that would play over and over in my head because I knew people would have thoughts about it. And of course they did.
Yeah. Ones they weren't afraid to share.
Yeah. How could you adopt these children and then get divorced? And, you know, I have to live with that for the rest of my life. And so does Ben. And, you know, even Stashira, she wants to write a book and like a children's book. And she worked a book fair this last weekend. And I think it inspired her to start putting down some notes. And she sent me some of the topics that she would like to cover. And this was literally last night, and I'm opening it up and I'm like, okay, these are really good.
Wow.
These are topics that could help a lot of people. And then, you know, I had to swallow that there is literally a line that said, when you're adopted and your parents suddenly get divorced. And I thought, okay, that is fact. That is true. That is part of her story now. And that's what happened. And Ben and we did that. And so I'm thankful that she was able to put that down.
Even write that down.
And know that if she were to share her side of it, that that could potentially help someone else. Yeah, I'm very proud of who she's becoming. And I'm proud of us and who we've become in this, yes, process. And I think it's important to acknowledge when you're proud of yourself. And it's not bragging in a way that's unhealthy. I think for our brains, and because we can default to negative, we, mm-hmm, need to make sure as parents, you acknowledge when you've done something well, because I think we tend to just beat ourselves up when we've, yeah, done something wrong, mm-hmm, or reacted in a way that we wish we wouldn't have, or, you know, and as parents, we need to give ourselves grace.
Absolutely.
That we're navigating a lot and we may react a certain way or do something that sure may impact our kids. However, I think if we have that self-awareness, then we can go to our kids and say, hey, how I acted yesterday and what you saw, that is not how I want to show up as your mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm really sorry. And
I can't name the times that I've had to go back and say, I shouldn't have reacted that way. Or, you know, I think that's one of the biggest gifts we can give is to apologize to our children when needed, because in what that teaches them about how they are toward other people.
Right.
But, yeah.
And healthy communication and, yes, relationships for them down the line.
Absolutely.
And it's not always easy to do that. It's
no.
Sometimes we're like, oh, and you parent your children so differently. I think, or at least I try to, my kids are totally different. They have a different personality. I cannot parent them the same.
Right.
And Ben and I know that now. And I think in the beginning, we were just like, okay, well, this is what our parents did. So this is what we're going to do. And we'll just do it the exact same for both of them.
For
and
sure.
Now we know, oh, wow, we actually are not going to do what our parents did. And not at fault to our parents, but they were raising biological children that were nurtured from day one.
Yeah.
Our kids didn't have that.
Yeah,
cannot
very
parent
different
them
circumstances.
And then when it comes to judgment too, I circle back to like some of the ways that we have to parent our kids, it looks very different than what someone else might do.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come in your home and they try to tell you what you should be doing or what you shouldn't be doing, it's so annoying. What do they call it? Like energy vampires. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
suck it out of us.
Yeah. Suck it out of us.
Absolutely.
And you already have as a mom. you have enough energy being sucked out of you at times. So I think it's really important to take care of yourself. If you need or have the resources or you need to go away for 3 days with Alinda, like, and you have people around you, like family and friends saying like, yes, go do this and we'll support you. You know, be aware of that and try to do it and give yourself that gift because it can be life-changing, which that trip was for me. It wasn't right away, but it was exactly what I needed and some of the stuff that I started processing on that trip and then continued to process in therapy in the months after.
Right.
It was very helpful for me. But if I hadn't taken the time, which I have so much gratitude for that, I know that that's not something that everybody can go away and do. Whatever that looks like for you, even if it's just sharing with someone like, hey, I've been having these thoughts or I was thinking about doing this. Like, should I talk to somebody or is that normal? Or a friend you can confide in that's also not going to judge you for whatever thought that you have to say. I think just as much as we can come alongside other women and support them in what they're doing and not have to have a say about it at all. Just listen.
Just be there for somebody.
Just be there and listen.
Well, I want to end on a positive note. And I want you, first of all, I know what a huge role your mom, Judy, played in your life. And we've all benefited from that with, and I've got my cute little Pimp and Joy sweatshirts where I've supported over the years and that type of thing. But what would you say is probably your favorite trait that you got from your mama?
My sister and I, of course, miss her every single day. That's something I was just talking to my sister about yesterday. I'm like, oh, sometimes I have to call my sister and be like, can you be mom here for a second? Because I don't have her. And so hugs to anybody else listening where you know, your mom's not around anymore. Because my mom and I did not have a really great relationship when I was a teenager. Once I got older, we did. But there was a lot of years that were very, very, very hard. And I treated her was horrible. And she used to always tell me payback is going to be horrible. And I think she's in heaven, like orchestrating a few things where she's just like, Stashira, go ahead and do that. Okay. That's a little payback right there. But eventually we got close and she is was a very, she always wanted to help others that like she had a good eye for if someone was really going through something, like bringing them in. We always had, she was single. My parents got divorced when I was like 9 and she always had, she was worked for the jail ministry. So some women that were transitioning out of jail into civilian life, they would live with her and, her door was sort of always open. And so for me, that I think that is what I've noticed when I have a certain response to someone that I don't even know that well, but I just feel this need to be like, hey, I feel like I need to figure this out for them and not like to swoop in and rescue in any way, but to genuinely be like, okay, how can I help this person? Or I wonder if they would need a place to stay. And I'm like inviting people into my home that I think they're a little caught off guard of like, wait, you're just opening up your room to us. Like, and no one's taken me up on it yet, by the way. So I think that I get that from my mom of like, you need a place to stay for 2 months, 5 months, 6 months, get back on your feet. Doors wide open. I mean, it was like a revolving door. There was always people there. And so that is a trait or something that I witnessed her do that I am always open to doing. But doors open.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Compassion. I think it's a level of compassion.
I know. It feels weird to say that about yourself, though.
Yeah. It's always hard to brag about yourself, but there's definitely positive traits that, you know, we all got.
Yeah. And I know it took me a minute to get to that answer. I just felt like it was important to also set up that there is hope. If you have a difficult relationship with your teenager, if you're a mom listening right now, there is hope.
Yes.
That they will turn a corner and y'all end up being best friends because that's what happened with my mom and my sister too. I'm very thankful that we were all three very, very close and that my sister can take on that role of mom for me. But on that note, which I'll close with this part is just talking with your family, your parents, whoever, if it's your mom, or it's, you know, your grandmother or like ask questions. Get them to write down the recipes. All the things that you think there's going to be time for that you'll always know or that you'll remember. It's like, oh, there's so much that I would go back and talk to my mom about and ask about her.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, certain recipes that are, have been really difficult to find because we thought they were somewhere and they're not.
And so now just, you can't find them.
So just make sure that you do that, especially if it's a recipe that was theirs that's special. Like she had a cheesecake recipe. It was called Judy's Cheesecake. And we basically found like half of it ripped up and it was handwritten. And we're like, okay, well.
It's probably one of those she didn't even pull the recipe anymore, like, right?
How much vanilla was in there for that.
Yeah.
So, but everybody loved Judy's Cheesecake. So just write the recipes down, ask the questions. And I think it you will not regret it. That's going to be time well spent.
For sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of time well spent, this certainly was. You offered so much just wisdom and encouragement in addition to just the fun stories of learning more about, you know, you and how you came to have this cool job and be a part of so many of our lives, we feel like, from getting to know you on the radio and all the things. But you're a great mom and you've done great things for people. I think that you use your platform in a really positive, beautiful way. And I think there's purpose in the reason that God gave you the platform that he did. So thanks for sharing it with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I feel the same way about you. I enjoyed having you on when you came on to Four Things and then just watching you do your thing. Like I'm in awe, like I'm impressed. You know, I'm a big fan. So this podcast, all the things that you do, I think that it's going places. So I love being a part of it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening. Be sure to catch part two of this conversation with Amy as we journey through some of Amy's more difficult days and the lessons that she shares in hopes of encouraging others. In the show notes, I will link the podcast that Amy and I did together in case you want to listen to her Four Things with Amy Brown podcast. And as a reminder, you can watch these episodes on YouTube if you prefer. As always, I'm so thankful for each of our listeners. Be sure to visit our website, gotitfrommymamapodcast.com, where you can sign up for our monthly newsletter.